This is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
And good morning on this rainy Saturday. Hope everybody's having a good one because it's going to be pretty good to see what's going to be happening in college football. Lots of good stuff in the pros coming up tomorrow. And, you know, lots of big stories are abounding. And, of course, we're here for an hour taking your phone calls at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's get started with headlines. Well, Seahawks still have to sort through a whole bunch of injuries. They know that Lano Hill is going to be out. Good chance that Bradley McDougal is going to be out. So it looks like Tedrick Thompson might be starting with Marquise Blair at the safety position. Looks like Dwayne Brown is going to probably miss the game with that pectoral injury for the second straight week. There's a chance that DJ Fluker might be able to play. He's going to be a game-time decision. It's also a game-time decision, as we mentioned, on Bradley McDougal. There's about four players for the Ravens that are listed as questionable, but Marquise Brown being the biggest name, he hasn't practiced all week. Decent chance he may miss the game. And, of course, in baseball, it was the Yankees getting four runs in the first inning after Justin Verlander getting the victory. And so the series is extended today. It's now 3-2 Astros as they still try to wrap it up. But right now, not able to wrap it up. It's still up in the air as far as where that's going to go. So stay tuned on that front. And, of course, as far as looks like Brett Urban, guy that signed over from Baltimore going to Tennessee. He was just cut. All of a sudden, that means that Baltimore now loses the potential of getting a fourth-round compensatory pick for John Brown. That means they may have to cut Justin Bethel to be able to get that pick back. And those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to JB in Renton. Hey, JB.
Hey, Mr. Clayton. How you doing on this fine rainy Saturday?
Yeah, I know. Doing okay. Doing okay.
That's a good thing. Hey, can we start today with the game today? What do you think about the Huskies and Oregon Ducks today?
Should be a good one. We'll see. You know, the thing that surprises me is just how good Oregon's defense is. That got me totally cold. I don't think anybody anticipated that. So you would anticipate it's going to be a low-scoring game. That may favor the Huskies, particularly that they're at home and you got the rain and all that stuff going on. But it should be a good one.
Yeah, definitely will. Hey, well, you know, that Thursday with Patrick Mahomes having that dislocated knee, that was kind of scary for the Kansas City Chiefs, and I think the NFL itself.
Oh, I agree.
What do you think?
No, I agree. I mean, that's scary when that happens because, you got the ability right now for, you just hate to see that happen. Because he's such a great player. You want to have him there. I guess the good news is it may be as little as 3 weeks, but it still could be anywhere between 4 to 6 weeks. But it just takes a great player out of the game, and I just hate to see that.
Yeah. Now if you look at it, the quarterback over there with the Denver Broncos, Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Is he just regressing that bad, or is just their offense?
I think it's the offensive line. I mean, when you have no time to throw and you're hit that many times, what are you going to do? I mean, their offensive line is just horrid.
Yeah, it is. True. That makes a lot of sense as far as – you got a couple other good ones coming up. Basically, my guys are rolling into Chicago. We're kind of rolling in and hopping in on one leg with a lot of injuries. What do you think about that Sunday?
As far as you saw New Orleans, I think they could be in trouble. It's one thing, they've got a great defense. I think they're the most complete team maybe in football and really like what they're doing. But, you take Alvin Kamara out along with Drew Brees, that really puts it tough, particularly in the matchup. They're going against the Bears defense on the road. It's hard enough to win road games, but now to be able to think, I think this could be a loss for them. But again, you think about how Bridgewater's been able to set them up so well, getting four wins in a row and, very well could. I didn't think that he could go 6-0 in his stint replacing Drew Brees. I mean, 4-0 has been fantastic. I just think it's going to be tough to take that fifth win when you're going to Chicago, no Kamara. And some, they're banged up on the offensive line, too.
Yeah, Jared Cook is out. Traquan Smith is also out. You're taking a lot out of it. Not only is Drew Brees is throwing the football again, Mr. Clayton. What do you think his prognosis is?
2 weeks.
Back early?
I mean, the original diagnosis was going to be, basically, 6 weeks, and so I think he's right on schedule right now. I mean, he's able to grab the football, and he's still, that grip is going to take some time to be able to master. But, in the end, I think that, at least he's making progress. So I think that, you got next week's game. So, week 9 is when he probably should be back?
Yeah. Then they go on the bye week. So would you keep him out against Arizona next week and just bring him back after the bye?
Oh, I'd wait. Yeah, no, if there's a bye, I'd wait till after the bye. Buys more time, makes more sense.
Cowboys and the Rams. What is their problem, Mr. Clayton? Is the Cowboys just, when you stop Ezekiel Elliott,
right.
do you think they have enough speed on the outside of the offensive position of the wide receivers? Because I think if you can get to Amari Cooper, I mean, what else does he have?
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, Amari Cooper doesn't have speed. He's just a great route runner. And so, and that was the problem that they had before, because Dez Bryant didn't have any speed because of the metatarsal injuries. They were really strapped with problems in that regard. And, you take away a great receiver like that. I mean, again, that trade, when he get the criticism for making the trade and giving up a first-round pick, turned out to be golden. But, he's like, Michael Gallup, I don't know how fast he is. Randall Cobb is not fast. Yeah, so I think there is a lack of speed, no question about it. And that's been a problem. And it's just amazing to see the conversion. Here it is. They come back and they, they don't have the ability to, do much when they get the injuries. I mean, the injuries at the tackle position, they're playing good teams. They're only averaging 18.3 points in the last three games that they've played. And, they guess they catch the Eagles at a good time because their defense is really injured and they're really thin. But, this is a must-win for them.
Yeah, I think for both of them, right?
Oh, yeah, both teams. Loser's going to be 3-4.
Right now, as far as the division is concerned.
Yeah, the loser's going to be 3-4.
Yeah. That's not going to be a good position to be in, particularly in the NFC right now.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you see the NFC North.
Right.
It's playing good football. You can't have that right now. What do you think about the Rams, Mr. Clayton? What is their ailment? Is it just the run game with Todd Gurley that can't get it going? Is that the problem?
Well, it's a couple things. I mean, first off, not having Gurley takes away the running game and forces Jared Goff to pass more. Then the other thing is the way teams are defending them, because what they're doing is that they're going out and they're putting six-man lines up against them, and so there's no running room. They got guys coming in free. They've taken away the edge blocking. Say what you want. I mean, now Andrew Whitworth is just not. He's looking old. He's playing and blocking old.
Yeah.
And then, Rob Haverstein on the other side, he's struggling. So you throw all that together, and it's like, uh-oh, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
It's not like, you can see even in the Seahawks game, they had to go ahead and start bringing an extra tight end or two in there just to try to seal the edges, and that takes away a wide receiver because they had to keep on having Brandon Cooks and, Cooper Kupp come off on and off the field.
Yeah, that is not a good recipe to keep the offense going as far as that's concerned. I'm going to tell you a game, Mr. Clayton, that's going to be a pretty intriguing game. That's the Texans and the Colts.
Uh-huh.
If you look at it, Deshaun Watson, the way he's been playing, and I'm going to tell you, the Colts is not a bad team.
Nope.
That ought to be a pretty intriguing. How do you look at that game coming up Sunday?
No, I think it should be pretty good. I mean, when you really look at the AFC right now, Kansas City still will make the playoffs and win the division. You still have New England, who even is not playing well, but they're still, they got an easy schedule, so it doesn't matter. Then you got Houston with you got Houston and Kansas City, and then Indianapolis and Buffalo, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Baltimore. No, you got Baltimore. Baltimore's in there. So those are the six teams right now that look like playoff teams, but they don't necessarily look like great playoff teams.
No, not great ones. I think if you look at it right now, with the situation with Patrick Mahomes, you can look at Houston as being maybe the second best team in the AFC.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, if you look at it right now, I mean, the other teams, if you look at them, New England is head and shoulders above everybody else in the AFC as far as that's concerned, mm-hmm. especially if you have to go to New England to beat them in a playoff game.
Right.
Which one do you think that could go over there and do that in the AFC right now?
I don't think anybody can go into New England and win. I mean, the only one I guess you could say would be Houston because they got Deshaun Watson, but I can't see Jacoby Brissett going into New England and winning. Mahomes, I mean, you know, say what you want. When he comes back, he's not going to be the same quarterback because he's not going to be as mobile, you know, coming off that knee, coming off the kneecap injury. And so, I mean, maybe by the playoffs he'll be okay, but I think in the end it's going to be tough.
It's going to be real tough. Is the Raiders back, Mr. Clayton? They're going to Green Bay this weekend.
No.
Are they back?
No, I don't think so.
No,
no, I just think they're thin. I mean, hey, it's been great to see what they've been able to do, but I think that's going to be a struggle.
Not right now. That's what you're saying. Not right now at this point in time. You know, Detroit and Minnesota is going to be another good game, Mr. Clayton, because Detroit is fighting to get back into some winning ways. Didn't you like those calls that Detroit got against them in that game?
Well, I mean, the thing with Detroit, now they got screwed with the officiating without question. You know, five bad calls that shouldn't have happened, or you know, they were just bad calls. But, you know, the one tendency they tend to have is, you know, they blow games late. I mean, they've blown three games late in that second half or in the fourth quarter, and that's got to be scary.
That's got to hurt because, I mean, Matt Patricia's got them playing some pretty good football.
Right.
I tell you that, particularly on the defensive side, they've been looking way better. The way the NFL is designed, crucial calls can hurt you, especially because you need those games, especially to stay faced in the NFC North right now. You know, we need that. You definitely need that. What do you think about with Baltimore coming here tomorrow, Mr. Clayton?
By who?
The rain coming down. How do you look at that?
It's going to be a tight game. I mean, I look at it very much like the Pittsburgh game. Where it's going to be a struggle to try to win it, but somehow if you don't make the turnovers, then you have a decent chance of winning, and there's more of a chance that Baltimore will make a turnover or two, and if that happens, you know, I think that they'll get a bunch of yards. I think it could be a higher scoring game, but I think it's going to be a good game. Hey, JB, got to run.
All right, Mr. Clayton, talk to you next Saturday, my friend.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Raider Jim. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Hey, John, how you doing?
Doing well. How about you?
Good. I'm doing good, too, John. Doing good, too. Well, the Raiders are almost over with the road trip from hell, John.
I know.
I mean, they are going to Green Bay this Sunday and going to go to Houston next week, and then they finally get a home game, John.
I know. Long overdue. That schedule is just awful. Absolutely awful.
Yeah. Well, you know, John, they go to Green Bay. They haven't won there since 1990.
Mm-hmm.
But this time around, I think I like their chances, John. I mean, Green Bay's coming off a controversial win on Monday night. Therefore, they have a shortened week. And the Raiders, you know, they've had 13 days to prepare for this game. You know, in the Green Bay D, it's good, but not necessarily great against the run, and that's a Raiders strength at this point.
Right.
And then the Raiders get two key players back to get Pro Bowl caliber Gabe Jackson back. You know, he's a right guard. They also get back a guy named Nevin Lawson, who was on suspension for a number of games. What they're going to do with that, I think, is they're going to switch Worley over to kind of a hybrid where they put him at safety and then take the other two safeties and bring them up into the box to make it tough for Aaron Rodgers. So I think it'll be an interesting game, John.
Yeah. But what about Trenton Brown? Because I guess he's banged up, but he also has some off-the-field issues with an alleged domestic.
Yeah. Well, John, maybe it's just me, but I don't think that's a coincidence.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that's a coincidence. Those are very serious charges. I think the timing of it was interesting, though, if you really want to read the backstory, and most people wouldn't because it's pretty ugly. But I think that they're going to be okay, but if they replace him and he's not going to play. He went through walkthroughs yesterday, which is a sign that he's probably not going to play on Sunday. And that might be best anyway. I'd hate to see that because those two edge rushers they have in Green Bay, the Smiths.
Oh, they're great.
They're pretty fierce. And you need a guy like Trent Brown to be able to hold that edge off. But it's unfortunate. And you know the team was looking forward to seeing the full slot of their offensive starters that they projected at the beginning of the year play in this game, but that doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Nope, and that'll be a big setback for them if that's going to be the case, because now they're open at the edges. I guess Brian Parker will have to come off the bench and play.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's going to be tough.
It is. you know, Alec Ingold, who's a rookie, he was a quarterback in Green Bay. And his favorite team growing up, of course, was the Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's now the fullback for the Raiders. And so it's going to be great to see him play on the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field, even though I don't think it's frozen right now.
No, I would hope it's not frozen this early.
Right.
That would not be
good.
Did
you see that Darren Waller got an extension, John, for,
yeah,
what was it, $9 million a year?
Three years, $9 million.
$3 million
a year. That's a good one because, he's been a great acquisition.
Yeah, he's been a great acquisition. You know, I went on to overthecap.com just to kind of see if they had written about it, and they didn't. But are you familiar with this over-the-cap valuation metric that Fitzgerald put together, the guy who does that site?
It's a good one.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting to see, like, the actual player performance with the value of the contract, which has not been done before.
Right.
And I'm going, wow, this is great. I mean, you know, like, for instance, Russell Wilson looks really great on those metrics, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Seahawks knew what they were doing, and they signed him, you know. And, you know, he's just adding so much value to the situation at all times. So, and then on to Patrick Mahomes. Real sorry to see that happen. I mean, as you know, I was skeptical about his prowess and his abilities. But, I mean, make no mistake about it,
he's
a great player. And sorry to see that happen to a player of that caliber for anything in football, John. It's just not a good look.
No, it isn't. And because, again, he's so important to the league because, I mean, you know, it's almost like the same if you take a Tom Brady, Peyton Manning in his prime, Aaron Rodgers, or Russell Wilson. I mean, it's like you hate to see somebody not there because, I mean, they're so good and they're so entertaining.
Right. And so I'm thinking to myself, okay, when it comes to the AFC, you know, who's going to, The Patriots. I mean, you could say all you want to about Kansas City. They don't have a defense.
No.
They really don't. They've shown to be vulnerable that way. So it's going to end up being the Patriots and some other team from the NFC.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree. And I can't see any way around it. I mean, that's just the way it is. So, yeah. But I when I saw that injury, I was just sickened. Just absolutely sickened by it. Because, you know, you want – because again, he's so entertaining. And again, you know, Kansas City with Andy Reid and all that stuff. I mean, he's always been just like that quarterback away from getting to the Super Bowl because then McNabb got him to the Super Bowl, but he wasn't good enough to win the Super Bowl. Mahomes is good enough to win the Super Bowl.
I agree with that, John. I agree with that. And I have to say that from an Oakland Raider fan, it'd be good to see Andy Reid win a Super Bowl, John.
It really would. Hey, yeah. Jim, thank you for the phone call.
Okay, John, take care.
All right, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Jacqueline in La Center. Hey, Jacqueline.
Hey, John.
How are you?
Take you off speaker. I'm well, thank you. I have a couple questions. First, I haven't heard any follow-up on how your wife is doing.
Doing better. She was, because she had trouble breathing on Monday, and so she had to call 911, and so with her caregiver, they were able to get her to the hospital, and it turns out she was just low on potassium, and so they got that fixed up, and so she made it back home, and then I was in Fort Lauderdale when she called, and so I made it back home late that night, so she's doing well.
Oh, good. Hey, the reason I called was... did you hear the interview Pat and Jimmy, I'm Moving the Chains, had with John Perry yesterday?
I didn't, but it was funny because I remember I asked for, this is during the summertime, I asked for John Perry to come on the show. And, you know, he's now been great. I mean, he's fantastic. And
yeah,
you know, he's so open and honest. And again, what you're talking about is that he was the referee of the Super Bowl last year. He was the best referee in the game and he got out of it. And I'm sure that because I know when we interviewed him, he was talking about, you know, some of the mistakes that are being made. I know he's not a fan of the pass interference rule, which I'm not. But, you know, I think did he basically say it's a mess right now?
John, he has done a 180, and he's come around to your way of thinking and now calling for the sky judge. It's a really good interview. I hope you get a chance to listen to it. It was on the 2 o'clock hour yesterday on Friday, Moving the Chains.
Right.
I had a follow-up question to that interview because and maybe we should talk next week. But he mentions, he's pretty much in on all the equipment and solving things, and it's way too detailed to relay. But he made one comment about the crew chief if they were doing the sky judge thing, mm-hmm. then the crew chief would be a part of that crew and would be in charge. He saw a little bit of conflict between managing that crew and, you know, refereeing the game. I thought that's what he was saying, and that was one of the follow-up questions I had. What is he saying there? And he's asking, when he sits down with his crew on Saturday morning to, you know, talk about the upcoming game that they're doing, who are we officiating? And is it, are we officiating for the game, or are we officiating for the grades that the crew's going to get? So I had a question about what that would look like, either one of those. So it's a fascinating interview. I really do think he's just at a 180, and I thought you would be really happy to hear that.
I am happy to hear that because it's so needed, because right now the whole situation is so bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's as bad as I can imagine with the
degrees.
I mean, it's just horrible because, you know, there's just so much confusion. So, and again, I don't blame the officials. I blame the league.
He's worried about the morale of the officials, and he thinks this other design will address that. The other thing he mentioned, that there's a, I think the number was 26, and just going on my memory here, 21 or 26 officials who are about to retire, and uh-huh. he sees that as, whereas last year, you know, when you were interviewing him, he was concerned that they wouldn't have those officials available to they need 17 to do that sky judge job.
Right.
But now he sees that as a pool that could easily, you know, transition to that position. So it's a very interesting interview, well worth time and energy to look it up. And one thing, I don't know, maybe you know, I have run into this, those interviews are only up for 5 days and then they take them down. So you need to listen to them the next 5 days or they're going to disappear.
Yeah. But no, I tell you, I mean, John Perry, I think, has been just a great light. I mean, Gene Steratore does a good job. But I think everybody is on the same page that right now it's just not good. I mean, uh-huh. it's just a very bad thing that's going on. And again, it's on the league. It's not on the officials. Hey, Jacqueline, thank you for the phone call, and thank you for the update.
Okay, and then I'll check in next week and find out what you thought.
Okay, sounds good.
Bye-bye.
All right, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Mike in Renton. Hey, Mike, how you doing? Mike, are you there?
Yes, John, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Hey, how's it going, John?
Good, how are you?
Good. I got a question. Where are you going this coming weekend?
Going over to CenturyLink. Going to go see the Seahawks go against Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, that should be a good game. Hey, John, when a visiting team comes from the East Coast, do they come in on Friday morning, Friday afternoon? Or
they usually do. Some don't, but, I mean, you know, most of the smart teams do because it's such a transition. And so I assume that the Ravens flew in last night.
Oh. Hey, John, you know what I wanted to ask you? When Detroit played the Patriots, the tight end for the Lions, Jesse James, the Steelers didn't offer him a contract?
No, they did not.
He looked awfully good in that game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he got, like, what, $6 million to go to Detroit.
Why didn't the Steelers offer him a contract?
Well, because they had Vance McDonald that they're paying, and you can only pay so many guys.
Yeah.
I mean, they couldn't afford you know, it's like, I know Detroit right now is paying two, but it's hard to pay that many tight ends. I mean, you can pay one, but you can't pay two. I know that they're, you know, got good money into Jack Doyle and Eric Ebron in Indianapolis, yeah. but you know, most teams don't do that. And
yeah,
the Steelers certainly are, they're not a two tight end offense.
Yeah, he left with a bad taste in his mouth. He was bitter.
I know.
Oh, I don't blame him. Hey, how's Ben coming along?
What's that again?
How's Ben coming along?
I guess fine. I mean, it's going to take some time. Obviously, it's going to he's going to wait till next year. But you know, he's not playing this year for sure.
Yeah, I hear Rudolph's coming back. He cleared the concussion call.
Yes. We don't know if he's going to start, but of course, I mean, they're on the bye week right now, so you'd have to anticipate with that extra week that he should be able to start. But I mean, hey, you know, Duck Delvin did pretty well.
Yeah. Well, we'll just wait and see. All right, John. Good talking to you.
All right, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Billy. Hey, Billy.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Doing well, doing well. I'm glad to hear that your wife got some treatment there, and hopefully she's on the mend and prayers with her.
Ah, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Very welcome, good sir. I have a question for you. That Mark Andrews fella that tied in for Baltimore, what do you think the Seahawks are going to do to deal with that big old man of a beast he is?
They got to really hope that Bradley McDougal is going to be able to play, which right now doesn't look encouraging because, I mean, he's good. I mean, so they may have to even be creative and find a way to maybe put even a cornerback on him, a slot cornerback, because, I mean, that's good because now you've got, Tedrick Thompson at free safety and probably Marquise Blair at strong safety. And so to match up a strong safety as a rookie going against Andrews, that's going to be tough.
I completely agree. I've been watching him since he played at Oklahoma, and that man just knows how to get open. My second question for you is, I don't know much about the Ravens' pass rush or their defensive line, mm-hmm. but with the possibility of Fluker being gone, the good possibility, or I believe Brown has already been rolled out. What do you think we're going to do for the offensive line to protect Russ?
There's a chance that Fluker might be able to play, but their pass rush isn't there. They only have one pass rusher, Judon, and because, remember, they let Jazarius Smith go, and they weren't able to get Terrell Suggs to come back. So that's one of their voids. On the defensive line, though, they're really good. They got Michael Pierce and Brandon Williams, and that's about as good of a run-stopping duo as you can have. So the good for them is their run-stopping unit is really good at the defensive line, but they're weak as far as their pass rush.
That's what I figured. Thank you so much, sir, for answering those questions. You have a wonderful Saturday.
Hey, thank you so much. Give us a call here at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Mike in Tacoma. Hey, Mike.
Hey, morning, John. I just want to know, who are going to be the players towards the trade deadline this year?
There's going to be a lot. I mean, because we're already at 95 trades for this year, but I guess, I mean, I still have to think with a 1-5 record, the Redskins will have to trade Trent Williams. That's nice to be able to keep saying they're not going to do it, but I think they'll have to do it. I mean, somebody's going to have to, make a move for pass rushers. I think we're going to see a lot of different moves.
Can the Washington tackle, can he get the same amount as Ramsey?
No. I can't see it because he's older. He's, 31 years old.
Oh, okay. I didn't know he was that old. And, hey, I got one more question. Yeah. What other older quarterback can they bring off the heap, off the street this year if somebody gets injured?
We're starting to run out right now.
That's what I was wondering, John.
T.J. Yates is out there still. Matt LaFleur. I mean, Matt Cassel retired and is doing TV. And
Paxton did get signed, didn't he?
No, he got signed for TV.
Paxton?
No, Cassel. Matt
Cassel. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Paxton Lynch ended up going to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, right. Okay, I thought he did get hit. I was just trying to figure out who might be out there that they might bring off. I figured
you know. For what team are you looking at?
What happens if the backup for Kansas City, Matthew?
Well, they have one option because in another week they can bring Chad Henne off injured reserve, because he's on for 8 weeks, and this is week 7 for them, so they can maybe get him out there.
Okay. Is he a little bit more mobile?
No. No, he's an older quarterback. He's a pocket-passing quarterback.
Okay.
Than Matt Moore.
That's where everybody's at now in the NFL for their next backup.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, John. You have a good weekend.
And thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Is it Darren in Renton? Aaron, let's go to Aaron in Renton. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, Aaron.
Aaron, are you there?
Hello, Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Hey, first-time caller, long-time listener. How are you today, sir?
Thank you.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. I just have a quick question. What are we going to do about Tennessee Volunteers? I'm a born and bred Washingtonian, but I spent 5 years in Tennessee from 91 to 95, and I just fell in love with that team.
Right.
It stays with today, and I'm just beside myself.
You have to think from the athletic director to just whatever it is. It's like they just keep on stepping on their own feet. And what, don't they have Alabama today?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like, you know, that's not going to go well.
No, 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 it's not. And it rarely ever does, even when we win the national championship.
Because it just doesn't seem like they have any philosophy in the coaches that they hire. I mean, don't you agree with
that? That's what I was thinking as well. I was thinking somebody in the administration bought into somebody's bologna sausage. But for how many years, with the record that we have, can they keep throwing their support behind him?
Good question. I mean, because it's been terrible as far as, you know, what's gone. Because, again, it's just, it doesn't change.
No. And there's no sense of urgency on the field.
No. Well, and again, the urgency on the field is coaching. And if you don't have the right coach that can get the urgency, then you're going to have those problems. But, you know, I am just absolutely stunned how bad it's been.
Yeah, me too. Well, I appreciate you taking my call, and go Hawks.
Okay, sounds good. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Give us a call here, and, of course, getting ready. Yeah, so that's going to be tough. You know, Andrews is a really good tight end for Baltimore, and so that's going to be one of the problems. I mean, this is going to be a tough game. But, of course, I mean, all these games are tough, you know, until the pass rush. The two concerning injuries for me are Ziggy Ansah, you know, with the ankle, because now he's questionable, and they need that pass rush. And then, you know, the McDougal injury could really hurt because they really need him, you know, both in coverage and safety and leadership, communication, everything else. So, you know, those are two defensive injuries that you worry about because, again, Lamar Jackson is going to be a handful. You know, because he's just, you know, so mobile, so good at what he's able to do that, you know, that's not going to be easy whatsoever. So stay tuned on that front to see where that's going to go. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Give us a call. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
And our thanks to Matt Nelson for producing the show. Thanks to Matt Nelson for running the show. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Mark in Port Orchard. Hey, Mark.
Hey, John. I've got a question about our tight ends and just something that's always perplexed me. Is Zach Miller, if I remember right, was an all-pro for the Raiders before we got him.
That's correct, yeah.
And he could catch just anything, but he unselfishly and quietly just blocked. Mm-hmm. You know, to help the running game. And so he'll always be a hero because that was just so selfless. Why don't we do that with Luke Wilson? As far as he seems, you know, everybody likes him. He
right.
seems like a good blocker, but, you know, somebody like Dissel will come in and all of a sudden it's a new offensive weapon. But it seems like Luke is just right there waiting, or does he have problems? Is his
well? Remember, I mean, Luke left last year to go to Oakland, or I'm sorry, he went to Detroit
right.
in free agency. You know, he didn't re-sign here, and so you know, they brought in Ed Dixon, and they had Nick Vinette, and you know, they were able to get Will Disley, and then Disley, you know, he gets injured with the patellar tendon, and then he comes back and he wins the starting job. And so they were lucky after they made the Vinette trade that Luke was available and to bring him back. But
sure.
Luke is a decent blocker, but he's not a great blocker. You know, he's more of a flex tight end. I mean, he can block, but he's not. You know, but he's not as good as you know, Disley blocking, and he's not as good as Ed Dixon. Dixon, of course, still on the injured reserve list. So that's one of the issues that's there. So it's like to do that. It's almost asking a little bit too much. Now, again, he was a better blocker than Jimmy Graham, without question there. But, you know, blocking wasn't his strength.
Oh, okay. And his catch percentage is pretty high. They were saying that Lockett's was like 87.
Oh, yeah. Well, Lockett's, he's a Pro Bowl type of guy at this stage.
Right. They haven't labeled him that he, you know, it's great for blocking, but not necessarily for catching.
I mean, Luke's a better pass catcher than he is a blocker. I mean, he's adequate as a blocker, but that's not his strength. That's why when Ed Dixon gets off the injured reserve list in another week, you know, he'll have a chance to go compete for the starting job. But also remember that, you know, like, you know, they have Jacob Hollister, but he's more of a pass catcher than he is a blocker. But so, you know, you gotcha. Do what you're able to do. The good part about Luke, because Luke came in here pretty much as a flex tight end, pass-catching tight end, and then was able to evolve to the point where he was able to be a decent blocker, not a great blocker. But, you know, they wanted more blocking because they wanted more running. And so that's why they brought in Dixon last year. They drafted Disley because they thought he was the best blocker of a tight end in college. And so but at least they're covered from the standpoint that they were lucky in being able to get Luke.
Sure. And one other question, and I'll take it off the air. Do you think Gronk's going to unretire?
Right now, no. I don't think he will. I think that you know, he's got enough stuff going on, both in television and all the different things that he's doing. I guess it's still a possibility, but I don't think it's going to be one that could happen.
Okay. Thanks, John.
All right. Thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, as we get ready for Seattle Sports Saturday coming up. Let's go to Ray in Edmonds. Hey, Ray.
Hey, John. Love hearing your comments all the time. You are a supreme professional. I watch, I listen to you, and you have such insight in the game. I'd like to get your take on Earl Thomas's coming back and all the news media about the finger, about no handshaking, about going to Dallas and the locker room saying that, hey, come and get me.
Right.
I'd really like to get some perspective from you because the Legion of Boom was so outstanding. But then it started deteriorating, and here we got a very Hall of Famer in Earl Thomas, no question. But it's like he's acting like a kindergarten. He's not going to shake Pete Carroll's hand. He's not going to talk to him. I'd just like to get your input on from a professional standpoint.
Well, understand, I mean, these guys were alpha dogs in the secondary, and that's what made them so good. You know, and what happened with Richard Sherman and maybe to a slight degree Earl Thomas and that, of course, obviously it was a monetary issue for Thomas because he wanted, you know, big money. And, you know, that wasn't and of course, by holding out, they weren't even going to make an offer. So that played into it and it got into an emotional thing. In the case of Richard Sherman, you know, his standards are so high to try to get the, you know, championship. And if he didn't think they were at a championship level, you know, he was going to keep talking to management and all that stuff. And, you know, that, and he got mad, and he got mad at the different things. And so that's what they're in the secondary, you know, in the case of Cam Chancellor, it was just the neck injury that got him out of there. But I mean, you know, Earl's a proud guy. And I think he started to realize for a couple of years, maybe they weren't going to be a Super Bowl team. They still had a chance to be a playoff team. And then of course, his big thing was trying to get the money, you know, because if you remember back when he did the deal, the 4-year, $40 million deal, I mean, he was upset about a story that Richard Sherman was going to get $13 million. The same year he was trying to get his contract, and he went berserk on that one. This is all in the off season, and Richard ended up getting $14 million. And so he wasn't begrudging Richard, but he wanted, you know, more than $14 million a year, and he got 10, which was the highest paid safety contract. Just understand, I mean, you know, he's intense, he's proud, and he kind of wants what he wants. But I think the return of him should be honored. I mean, I think that, you know, he should get as much accolades and know, as much positive things out of it because he's meant so much to this franchise.
But what do you think as far as now in the locker room? It seems like, just from the appearances of these different talks, that there's a cohesiveness there, there's a harmony, they're wearing this together, there's not distractions. And I don't know. How much does that add to the play? And then plus, Pete Carroll, to me, he's an awesome coach. He does the right thing, and he can't do everything, you know, so cut him some slack here.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, it's all worked out well because, I mean, you can see that the locker room is so much better. In the sense that they made the playoffs last year, and there's a good harmony, a good work ethic with the team. You know, it's different because it's a little more quiet than it was under the Legion of Boom. But, you know, the leadership's there, you know, because before it was in the secondary and on the defense. Now you have leadership on the offense. All those things are real positive. Hey, Ray, thank you for the call. Let's go to Steve in Burien. Hey, Steve.
Hey, John. I love this annoys you, but watching Fox, you know, NFL advertised for the WWE. It just feels so wrong.
WWE part of it?
Yeah, it's just watching the NFL legitimate sports advertising the entertainment, you know, trying to legitimize you know, fake sports, what wrestling is.
Yeah, but again, it's like, I know growing up, and I liked watching wrestling on WWE. I mean, I was fine with that.
But see, the whole, it's entertaining, but it's not real because the outcome's already fixed. That's what I just don't like. You know, they play it up like all the whole acting, the drama and stuff, but in the end, it's all predetermined and fake in the end. You know, and that's what bothers me is I want real sports. I don't want the two entertainment. It just bothers me. But anyway, getting what I want to say. Last night's game, my pass ball, wild pitch theory would have been real important in that game. Because I truly believe that baseball, pro baseball should pass, you know, make the wild pitch and the pass ball, live ball for the batter so he doesn't have to stand there and watch other people run around the bases while, you know.
Right.
He has to stand there. And the other thing is watching Wilson lateral to, who was it, Disley 2 weeks ago when before he was going down. That's the other thing is I think with the way Wilson moves and runs, especially with and other quarterbacks too, other mobile running quarterbacks, one of the things they should do is that when a guy, one of the receivers sees a quarterback doing that, you just instantly get into, if you can't block for him downfield, you know, but you instantly get into trail mode where the quarterback knows that somebody's going to be there. So when the defense collapses or before he takes a slide, you know, he uses his brain. He sees that the guy's open, pitch the ball out and let him go.
Not a bad idea, yeah. That's why you have to try to figure out the way to make sure because of the fakes. And, I mean, that play was just sensational. I know I laughed about it with Will Disley after the game. Hey, thank you for the phone call. Thank you for all the phone calls. Coming up next is going to be Seattle Sports Saturday. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.